You're listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly podcast looking at all things Warhammer.
Hello and welcome to episode 120 of the Sprues and Brews podcast. My name is Dave and I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello, hello.
And Jay.
Hello.
And we also have a super special guest this week as Kerry returns from the Hobby Room. Hello, Kerry.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, all good here. All good here. Having a good new year so far?
So far it's not gone too badly.
Compared to last year.
Survived the first 10 days of the year. That's an achievement, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. And so, Kerry, you're actually joining us this week for a very special reason. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, every time I join you, it's a special reason, right?
That's true. That is very true. So you've got a brand new project called the Pile of Potential, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later on in the show, exactly what it is and how people can get involved. And we've also got all our regular features. So this week we're going to be looking at our top three Citadel paints. Now, I don't think we're going to be able to read out all of the community picks because I think it's actually smashed records for contributions across social media. But we're going to read out as many as we can towards the end of the podcast. And of course, we'll discuss our choices as well. We've also got all the latest news. But before we get to all of that, let's talk about what we've been doing in the hobby for the past 7 days. So, Matt, do you want to start us off?
So I finished Horus the Warmaster. So much fun painting this guy up. Really, really enjoyable model. And I kind of want to get all the Primarchs now.
It's addictive.
It is. It's dangerous.
There's only one missing, isn't there? You could get them all apart from one. Is that right? There's only Jakati Khan that we've not got a model for.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. So, I really enjoy painting him. So I think I'll be picking up the others at some point. I also built some Sons of Horus veterans to pad out my force, and I built the contents of Aliens, another glorious day in the core, and painted Gorman, Hicks and Ripley on the stream today. That was a bit of fun. Nice to have something different as a bit of a palate cleanser.
How did you find painting them compared to, say, Games Workshop models?
Well, I mean, the board game miniatures, so the sculpts are a bit soft compared to like Games Workshop stuff, but some of the likenesses, like the Ripley, looks really, really good.
Yeah,
Hicks, less so. But yeah, pretty impressed with them. So a bit of fun to paint them up. And then, yeah, looking forward to playing the board game, but wanted to get some paint on them first because, you know, capture the atmosphere and all that.
Excellent stuff. And you'll be watching Alien later, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Cool. Jay, what have you been up to in the hobby?
So I finished painting the Tau Supremacy suit, which is the big Tau mini Titan thing. I painted on the Lumina front. I painted the Sad Mage. So that completes all of the Lumineth heroes now. So I think there must be like, I don't know, 1,500, 1,600 points of Lumineth heroes. so just 400 points of battle line and I'm done.
Just.
Crazy. And then I have built... So my Forge World Order came as well this week. So I was really happy about that, which I've got my 30k Horus Heresy stuff in. So I was building up the Dark Angel... I always get that. It's not Interemptors, though. They're called something else. Hang on, I've got the little sheet here. Let me just tell you what they're called, because I made a mistake. Interemptors, that's right, yeah. What did I call it? I called them something else, but they're Interemptors, which are like they're like Hellblaster sort of prototypes. They've all got plasma guns. They're really, really cool. Really, really nice models. And then after I'd built them, I thought, well, okay, I'll try and get a Dark Angels test scheme going. So I painted up one of my Breacher tactical squads, just one model in the scheme that I'm going to be using. I'm really happy. I wanted to try and get, like, because if you see all the... Most people's 30k armies are quite grim dark, a lot grittier and darker than 40k. Mm-hmm. And I tend to, when I'm painting my 40k, I tend to paint really, like, quite bright colours and nice crisp edge highlights. So I try and aim for crisp edge highlights. Whereas with the 30k, I wanted to try and just make it a bit grittier. So I'm quite happy. I've used like brown washes into the recesses and not really gone to town on the edge highlights, just put one or two on, but really subtle on like a greenish blue on the edge of the black armor. So I'm really happy with how he's turned out. And then I built and painted the Blood Angels Praetor, who unfortunately in the Blood Angels list, your Praetor, your HQ, you really want to have a jump pack so he fits in with the Rite of War. But it'll just be a secondary HQ, such a nice model. I'll fit him in somehow. So that's it.
Excellent. Yeah, really, really good week for you, Jake. Just to add a point of reference, we're actually going to have there will be a post on Sprues and Brews with all our sort of week updates on how we've been hobbying, because I think that's a bit of fun. So you'll be able to check that out on Sprues and Brews. You'll also be able to check out some Necrons that I've been painting. So kind of trying to keep up with my hobby resolution of making sure I've got at least a unit fully base painted before the end of the week. This week I have painted a Necron Overlord, a Royal Warden, and one base of Scarabs to completion. So all based, all finished. Super fun and easy scheme for them. Really enjoying painting Necrons at the moment. You can always tell when you're enjoying painting something by the fact that you're even sneaking in 5 minutes before you start work, and you're doing it on your dinner as well. The joys of working from home. So enjoyed painting those, and I've also started painting a Canoptic reanimator whilst Matt was doing his stream earlier on, which is coming along quite nicely.
Amazing.
Really enjoyed painting those. Really, really good. And Kerry, what have you been up to in the hobby over Christmas?
I perked up when you started talking about Necrons then, because you know that I've been quite heavily painting a lot. I actually finished up like 5,000 points over the 5 months leading up to Christmas.
That's brilliant.
And then we had Paint Crusade at the very start of this year, where I painted up a Mega Gargant over the course of 24 hours, and he's actually the start of a new Trog army, which I'm currently building.
Awesome.
But then this week just gone, I actually painted up 68 Hobbits from blister to completion, fully based and everything, 68 Hobbits.
Are you just seeing Hobbits when you close your eyes now?
No, they've been really fun to do. So I sprayed them all Wraithbone and then used every single contrast paint apart from Black Templar, because I didn't want there to be sort of black clothing on them. I wanted them to be bright and happy. And I didn't use Fire Slayer's Flesh because we didn't own it at the time. But during painting them, we did actually put an order in to basically go, I need that one now.
That's some achievement. 68 Hobbits. That's awesome.
It was a stream built army. So the chat actually decided on everything in the army. So all the units. So I've got all the heroes sat in front of me ready to be painted up next week. They chose everything, and they chose them to be winter themed as well. And I actually really enjoyed like covering all the bases in snow.
That's cool.
Do you use the Valhalla Blizzard? Is it the snow?
Yes.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's my favourite like basing material. I've started using it on a lot of things recently. I really like it.
Lots of cold planets that you're fighting on then.
Well, yeah, there is now.
have you got one of the Hobbit holes? I had one in the box for ages. I've been meaning to build it up. I think that'd be a bit of fun to do.
You're welcome to send it over here for me. I haven't got hold of one of them yet, but.
Excellent stuff. That rounds out our intro to this week's show. We've got plenty to get through, so we're going to take a pause and come back with this week's news. So what do we have in this week's news, Matt?
Well, we had some cool Warhammer Underworlds reveals this week. So the Starblood Stalkers, the Seraphon Warband for Warhammer Underworlds. These look really, really nice. I'd said back, when was it, on the Christmas podcast, that I think I'm going to try and do every Warband as they come out this year. And definitely sticking with that because they look really, really cool.
Yeah, they do. They look really fun to paint. And it's about time the Seraphon entered the Underworlds.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. There was also a little tease of another silhouette from another army, presumably the vampires that are rumoured to be coming. Really looking forward to seeing what they do with them. We've also had the big 40k update drop. Can you believe it's been 6 months since Indomitus launched? That's flown by, hasn't it?
Yes, that's mental.
Flown by, dragged by.
Yeah. So as Games Workshop do, recently, we've got big updates, so they've adjusted some rules things. So whoever wins the roll-off goes first. You no longer pick whether you go first or second. And in the final battle round, player two scores at the end of their turn for primary objectives, giving them a bit of a chance to try and capture back those objectives at the end of the game, which is, I think that's a pretty cool change. They've also adjusted a few of the secondary, so bring it down. I think one of the first games that we played, my mortifiers gave away a lot of points, didn't they, being vehicles, so they've adjusted that. So some of the objectives encourage you not to take the kind of army that you wanted to play. So if you were tank heavy, you might not take it because of how Bring It Down worked. So that's just been adjusted a bit, which again is another really cool thing. load of points adjustments as well. I know for Necrons, the Canoptic Reanimator, which I love, has gone down to, what, 80 points, I think it is now?
It is, yeah.
So, yeah, some things have gone up. The usual suspects, so the Melter dudes for the Space Marines, that I forget off the top of my head right now.
Eradicators.
The Eradicators, yep. And the Nightbringer have all had points increases. Fair points increases, I'd say. So, yeah, really good, really good. And they also mentioned on Warcom that the points adjustments are going to come in a pamphlet in a future White Dwarf as well, which I think is a nice touch.
Yeah, so you've got an actual paper copy.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. So, yeah, really exciting. We've also got pre-orders coming next week, Dave. I know you've been looking forward to this one. Codex Death Guard is on pre-order on the 16th. Alongside it, we've got a new Combat Patrol with 30 Poxwalkers, 7 Plague Marines, Typhus, and a Biologist. Seems a pretty good box.
Yeah, it's not bad. I kind of hope that there might have been a vehicle in there, but 30 Poxwalkers is not to be sniffed at, and obviously got a special character there as well. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I quite like that one. I do like my Poxwalkers, though. And then you've got the Lord of Virulence, the new character coming along it, and the Miasmic Malignifier, which is the cool kind of scenery piece, so... Yeah, pretty good release. They're also re-releasing the Dark Imperium characters as a set called The Chosen of Mortarion. Nice way of getting hold of those figures, which I don't think you can get... I don't think they released separate sculpts in them, did they?
No, they didn't, no.
So that's pretty good. And then the Poxwalkers from Dark Imperium are also getting released as a 10-model box. They did a... I think it was a 6-model kind of like push-fit booster pack that they did. So at least you can get your proper units of Poxwalkers now as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of Middle-earth as well, loads of stuff... coming back for that from Frodo and Sam, ready to throw the ring into Mount Doom, to the ring wraiths, to the really awesome Barrow Whites that still look great now, and I'm sure they must have been in one of the initial releases way back in the Mists of Time. So yeah, we look forward to them. Glorfindel,
my favorite character.
So yeah, lots of really cool stuff. I don't believe these are made to order. The website doesn't mention that they're made to order. It's probably like the last wave where it's get them while you can. So I think there might be a big Middle-earth order going in at the weekend. For Necromunda, we've got the Fear Cats for Escher on the way, along with the Contekar Terminators for the Night Lords. Now, these are really cool. We saw these on a preview back last year, and I am very tempted to do a Night Lord army. I really like these guys.
Yeah, they're very
cool. These are really cool. In like the Tartarus pattern armor, aren't they? With the weird sort of chainsword glaive type things. And I love the underslung Volkite cannons as well. They're cool.
Yeah, and lots of flayed flesh and entrails and all that lovely stuff. So yeah, they look really cool. And then loads of books coming out. Most excitingly for me, Mortis Collector's Edition is up for pre-order. I'll be very sad if I miss out on one of these books because I've got them all so far. So I'll be refreshing the GW site at 10 o'clock Saturday morning. So yeah, lots of cool stuff coming. If you don't know, at the minute for Jan and Feb, it's fortnightly releases from Games Workshop. So we'll probably have a quiet one the following week, but that's fine. We'll all be making Death Guard armies.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on that book. It's going to be really, really good. Excellent stuff. So we're plenty to look forward to, some pre-orders at last. We're going to take a pause and then we're going to come back with the pile of potential.
So Kerry, the Hobby Room have been working on a cool new project for organising your collection, the pile of potential. Can you tell us what it is?
It is a fancy dancy website which we created. It actually came off the back of tracking my Necrons. So back when Indomitus came out, we ended up getting a hold of quite a few of the boxes and ended up with like a lot of Necrons, and then kept buying more and more and more, and then never really kind of figured out what I had and what needed to be done. So created a Google Sheet essentially to track it all, and then started to track more and more things on it, like how many models I'd done, what percentage of like my own of what I'd actually owned got done, and just I kept bringing it up onto my live stream. I kept being like, look, I've done this many of my Necrons so far. And everyone was like, that's really cool. Can I have that? How do you do that? I want a version of that. And sort of went, well, all right. Give me some time and I'll work on something. And Pile of Potential was then born. So it's very similar to how I was tracking everything, where you've got the columns to tick off what you've built, what you've sprayed, what you've painted, what you've based. Whether or not you've bought it as well. So it's really useful for tracking current projects as well as future projects. I've actually got my Lego on there as well, because I want to track what I actually got for my Lego and what's built and currently on display in the house. I'm going to be tracking knitting projects on there. So it's not just for Warhammer. It's not just specifically for painting. I've actually got a private sheet on there that you can't see that is tracking all of the updates and development that needs to be done for the Pile of Potential, being tracked on the Pile of Potential. So you can use
Inception.
It for genuinely anything. So you can keep your page completely private if you didn't want anyone to see it. You can also keep specific projects private, meaning that you can share what specifically you want to share and tailor out how you want it to look and what you want to track.
Amazing. So I haven't had to play with it. You know, it's quite customizable. You know, you can have the cost price of your collection, which, you know, when I was talking to Dave about his record, I want to show that. That's a terrifying thing to show on the tracker.
It's more so for my own personal mind rather than sharing it for everybody else to see. I don't really want to see how much I've spent.
But at the same time, you can insert like all of the cost and everything into it, and then you can hide that column. So you can basically be like, right, I know what it's going to cost. I don't need to look at that for now. I'm going to hide that column from it. And then when I then come to look at buying stuff in the future, I can then untick, I can select the column again and go, you know, I've only got a £20 budget. What in my army is going to be £20? There you go. That thing specifically, I'll tick that off as purchased and I'll now go and buy it.
That's a good idea. That, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I was thinking about with that price column is, you know, like the old school Tale of Gamers where they have £50 a month budget. It's a really nice way of picking all what I could get this unit and this unit, and then I can paint them up this month. Seems a really good way of managing it.
It's the fact that it's completely customizable is what we really wanted to do with it, was basically go, you know, I can give you all of the tools to be able to track everything that you want to track, but actually breaking it down to the simplicity. And some people are figuring out other ways of using it. So like exactly as I said with the cost column and then hiding it again, like I hadn't thought about doing that. And the same is once I've then purchased everything for the army, I can then hide the purchased column as well, because I don't need to buy anything for the army anymore. But it's nice to see it kind of out in the world and people experimenting with it. And we're always looking at ways of developing it as well. So people have come across asking for different things, which we're actually kind of in development at the moment, and we're kind of prioritizing certain things over others and waiting for more people to ask about things. But it's all coming together, and it's seems to be really well received, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's really well. I've been building a Sons of Horus army, and it's nice to see that I've got 56.47% of the points completed of the army. That's pretty good to see. That's more than half of it done. Really nice kind of layout, and just easy to use as well. Color coded with each like segment that you haven't done. Looks very tasty. I am very impressed with it. So what's the general reception to it been? Has it gone down well?
It's gone down very well. We've got like a massive influx of people coming into my stream and into my Discord from it as well. Because we've actually got a channel in the Discord page which is specifically for bug reporting as well. There's about 750 users actually using the website, which is just insane for the fact that it's only been in the world for about a week or so. Just everyone's kind of jumped on it. But I think the real test of time will be whether or not people are still using it in a week or a month or, you know, a little bit down the line. But it's gone down really well. So if you guys do have any feedback or anything, then drop onto my social media, find the link to my Discord, and come and let us know.
Amazing. So would you say it's aimed at any particular type of hobbyist collector, or like you say, it does stuff that doesn't even cover miniatures games, I guess?
Yeah, so it's available for anyone and everyone. One of our Twitch followers has actually given it over to their mum, for their mum to track the Lego that she owns, because she has loads of stuff. I'm going to hand it over to my mum so she can track some of her crafting projects as well, because the idea behind it is that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be specifically for that painting. You know, I've got the knitting that I said about. I've got a blanket that I'm going to be making up and knitting individual squares. So I'm going to list all the individual squares and just tick off that they're completed when I've actually finished building them. And that building is going to be the only column that's going to be selected for that. So you can kind of pick and choose what you want to do. We've got really experienced hobbyists that are using it, that are trying to input everything that they own into there. And we've got people that are just starting out and using it to kind of track the buying of their first models. And like that sense of achievement that you get when you tick something off is sort of the main thing that we're looking at for it. because that's what everyone loves. Everyone loves going, oh, I did a thing, I can go tick it off.
Yeah, it's like the psychological got to catch more kind of thing, isn't it? When you've got a nice, beautiful green full sheet staring back at you at the end, you're like, yep, excellent, I've done that now.
So I can see it being useful for, like, if you're heading, you know, you've got a tournament coming up and you've got an army that you need to get built and painted ready for that tournament. Sometimes it's easy to get distracted or how much do I need to paint this week to get that done? I guess you can sort of structure it in this this website.
Yeah, I mean, add a new project and add specifically the army list that you're taking to that tournament, and then you know what you've got left to do for it.
Tournaments, say they were a thing, weren't they? Maybe one day we'll be able to do them again. Yeah, so do you need anything in particular to use it? Do you need an account or subscription or anything?
So you don't. We were originally going to have it as a subscriber only to our Twitch channel to be able to log into it, but we actually sort of looked at it and went, no, because this is going to be something that's really useful for people, and that they're all really going to, like, hopefully they're all really going to want. And we didn't want to make kind of something behind a paywall, because with everything that I've done with the hobby room, I've tried to make it as free and as accessible as possible to make it as welcoming as possible. So we put it up for free. Need a Twitch login currently. We're also have just developed a YouTube login as well, and we're going to be looking into Twitter and Facebook to be able to log in for it at the same time. So that was one of the main asked for things, and we've already started developing on that to allow other people to log in different ways.
Nice. So anything else planned for the future that you can tell us about, or have you got some super top secret stuff that you'd like to do?
There's always secret top secret things to do, but yeah, there are things in development, and like I've said, there's been people sort of crying out for stuff on the internet for it. One of the main things that we want to do is like a community pile, so have multiple people be able to all track within one project, so that you can work on stuff like as a group. So if there's, you know, especially for Sprues and Brews, for you guys, if you all wanted to put together and work towards one specific army that one of you takes towards a tournament, but you all want to get involved in it, that you could all like track it on the same project page.
That's a really good idea. I really like that.
That is cool.
Yeah, there's been a few, I know some of the guys on Twitter did a big Necromunda board, didn't they, for Armies on Parade, and being able to log and, you know, coordinate all that through it would be really cool.
Just have to keep an eye on it and keep an eye on the new updates that come out for it.
So it's funny, because I think, Matt, we were talking about hobby resolutions, because, you know, I've got my painting unit at least once a week, that I should create like a spreadsheet or something to track what I was doing. So it's almost like Kerry was listening.
I'm always listening.
Amazing. So if once you've got your pile of potential listed, is there any way to share that with the wider world or export the lists on there?
So if you wanted to share it, because again, you can keep your page entirely private if you wanted to, so that you didn't have to show anyone your pile of shame, which hence why the website's called Pile of Potential, because there is no shame in what you have. It is all potential that you've just yet to touch. But you've got a quick share link for each of the individual projects, or you can just share your entire profile essentially on it. And again, because you can make individual projects private, you can just be like, I'm just going to share the one thing that I'm currently working on, or I'm going to share everything and let everyone see exactly how much Warhammer I actually have.
That's a terrifying thing to do. Amazing. Well, I've had a play with this for a little while. I'm really impressed with it. I definitely going to be using it to log my various half-finished projects that are scattered around the room. But also something that I had been doing was keeping a spreadsheet of what models I've got for various ranges. And it worked just as well for kind of finished armies and keeping a track of what I've got. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to inputting everything into it.
I was going to say that's a good thing that you talk about there, Matt. Does it like date stamp when you've completed things or different things like that? So you can tick off, back in January, this model was finished.
So there's no date stamp on it. It is something, again, that we are looking into do and something to develop for that. But something I have done specifically on my page is I've got a finished models in 2021 project. So in of my other projects, every time I tick something off, I'm then going over into the finished page and adding it into there as well, so that at the end of the year, I've got a big long list of everything I've done. But again, it's something that we are sort of looking into for the development of this year. So hopefully by the end of the year, something we did want to do was sort of a look back over your year on Parler Potential, like they do with Spotify, for example.
Oh, that'd be ace, wouldn't it?
But yeah, lots of plans, loads of things that we want to do, loads of things that we've been sort of like elbowed with by other people going, oh yeah, do this thing, this would be really cool. And we're sort of weighing up all the options, seeing what, you know, what needs doing now and what needs doing sort of like 5 months down the line, etc.
I don't know whether I like that or not, because I can just imagine I'll be sitting down in my front room having my dinner and I'll get a message saying, this time last year you were painting Luminef, and then a year later it'll be, this time 2 years ago you were painting Luminef, just constantly painting Luminef. Like, that's 5 years and being reminded of it. Yeah. Still haven't finished those Luminef.
Mm-hmm. But you know, well, in a way that's a good little incentive, isn't it, to turn your pile of potential into finished beautiful models.
Well, exactly. You can just, the satisfaction of just going and ticking off, even if you put each of the individual models in there. So instead of having it as a unit of 10, you have it just as 10 units of one. Just being able to say, yep, I did one model tonight and I made progress on it. And then 3 nights later, you go, I managed to paint 2 models tonight. So that's 2 models that are ticked off on the
slow
thing.
Slow down there, Kerry. 3 nights.
Sorry. 3 months from now.
Ah, yeah, that's okay. That's acceptable.
And it's worth saying that you can put in custom notes and stuff as well if you need to put in some details. It's definitely cool. So Dave and Jay, have you guys managed to have a proper play with this yet?
No, I'll be signing up tonight though. I really like the idea that you can sort of share your pile of potential. So like I'll be sharing it with you guys so we can keep tabs on what we're working on. I really like that. It's cool.
I saw a comment on Twitter where somebody shared up their pile of potential link and basically went, this is so that you guys can tell me when I haven't actually completed anything in a little while, so you guys can give me a nudge. And I was like, yeah, getting the Twitter community involved, telling you that you're not doing enough hobby.
I've got as far as entering my project names, but I haven't started putting my units in yet. But like Jay, I'm gonna be doing that this evening.
I mean, that's probably true for you though, is it, Dave? You probably don't want to commit because you change your projects that often. Like one day you're doing players, the next day you're doing Necrons.
Potentially this could help streamline my hobby. Maybe I'll stay on target a little bit more.
If there's any like project limits, Kerry, that you have, you know, like hard limits in the application itself, Dave will test them out for you.
I mean, we'll see. We've got people that have entered over 20 different projects, and there is an awful lot of units on there that have been entered.
There we go. So yeah, so really, really cool. Make sure you check out pileofpotential.com. Is that right for the URL?
It's correct, yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be updates on your Twitch stream as well, yes?
Yeah, there is. There's also a Twitter page. We've got Pile of Potential on Twitter, so you can always at Pile of Potential if you want to let us know of any updates or anything that you want on there. But we'll post all of the updates and development work that we do on there at the same time.
Amazing.
Excellent stuff. We will have links to the hobby room and the pile of potential also in the podcast notes, so you can very quickly hit that link and go and sign up. But thanks, Kerry. That sounds very awesome. I'm looking forward to going through my pile of miniatures and slowly editing. It's almost a project in itself, a project to update my pile of potential.
Yeah, you know what you can do is you could create a project with all of the projects that need to be uploaded onto it and then tick them off when you've uploaded them.
That would be very satisfying, actually, to be fair. Really satisfying.
He's actually going to do it.
I probably will. So that brings us to the end of that segment. And we do have the top three coming right up. So for this week's top three, we're going to be discussing our top three Citadel paints from all time. So not just the current range, we're also talking about classic paints as well. So we're going to cover the community picks a little bit later on in the show, but safe to say it's been incredibly popular and I've really struggled to narrow it down to three. They're all pretty recent for me, but it should be an interesting one. My third choice is got to be Wraithbone. Because it's a spray that I get through so much of now. It's one of the latest cans that Games Workshop do. You can also buy it in a pot as well to touch up. But I use this so much now.
Yeah, it's a nice base coat. Really smooth base coat, isn't it?
It is. It really is. I mean, I use an awful lot of contrast, so it kind of just works anyway. But even not for contrast, you know, just for standard Citadel paints, it works brilliantly well. I know you use it quite a lot as well, Jay.
Yeah, I used it on armor. Most of my Luminef have been based with Wraith Bone, and the paint out the pot as well is like it's almost perfect match for the spray, so it's really easy to go back and touch up. I use it for cloaks, purity seals, that sort of thing. All of my flesh sort of coloured parts are based in Wraith Bone now. Gems are based in Wraith Bone. Really cool. I don't tend to use, because there was Wraith Bone and Grey Seer, which were the two contrast sort of primers that came out. I don't tend to use Grey Seer as much.
No, neither do I, to be honest.
It's like a cooler sort of.
I quite like Grey Seer, maybe because it is cooler and everything I paint's like grey and dull looking, maybe.
Excellent. Jay, what's your third choice?
So my third choice is a paint that I've only just recently started using. I've sort of been falling out with the metallic paints recently, like Lead Belcher and Iron Breaker. Not really getting along with them. I don't know whether it's because the paint pots I've got are quite old and the paint's just getting a bit funny now, or whether it doesn't like the primers I'm using, like Wraith Bone we just talked about. I'm not sure. However, Iron Warrior, which is like, it's like a dark bulk gun metal type colour. It's brilliant. Really, really like it. I get a really, really smooth and good coverage with that now when I use it. Ooh. So all my swords and spear tips and like armor plates and things like that, I just base in that Iron Warrior now to get a really cool like solid metal color.
Nice. Yeah. Have you tried Iron Hand Steel? I think that came out at the same time. That's really nice.
Is that a shade lighter? No. Is it like?
I think it's it's darker than Lead Belcher. I think it's lighter than Iron Warrior.
I may try that then, because yeah, I might try that to use as like edge highlights on some of the metal pieces. What's that one called?
Iron Hand Steel.
Iron Hand Steel, right? Yeah, I'll have a look at that.
Cool. Matt, your third choice.
So it's no secret I've been painting a lot of Sons of Horus, and I'm going to have a two for here. I'm going to cheat, and it's the combo of Lupercal Green and Sons of Horus Green, which were two new colours added around about the same time as Contrast. Forge World did a range of paints that were discontinued and people were very upset about, and they brought back a lot of these old colors when they kind of redid the range and added the new air range. And that Sons of Horus green, to get that proper kind of sea green color for the Sons of Horus, it is beautiful, and I might have to use that on some more armies as well.
Yeah, I really like that green. It's a really, really nice, really, really nice scheme.
I think it looked cool on like Adeptus Mechanicus.
Yeah,
red.
That's not a bad shout, and I do fancy doing a Dark Mechanicum army for 30k as well. And they're gonna be loyal to the War Master, aren't they? So we'll get some Sons of Horus green in there.
Isn't there an Adeptus Titanicus force as well? Is it Krytos or Kryptos or something? The God Breakers or God Hunters? They are a Chaos Legion. I'm sure that they're sort of like Sons of Horus green type color scheme. They're like quite cool.
That's
there.
Not a bad shout, and I do fancy doing another Legio.
Excellent. Kerry, what's your third choice?
So mine would be Seraphim Sepia, because for my Tyranids that I've been collecting for like the last 9 years, it's the skin colour for them. So it's one that I'm always going to have plenty of on hand. I've actually got two pots on my desk in front of me right now.
I find that colour goes well over, like, if you're doing flesh, it's good on that. On gold, it's good on yellow, on reds even. It's quite versatile.
It's good on everything.
Yeah.
Is that one of those paints where you've got an emergency, like 10 pots of it, just in case?
Yeah, I've kind of learned from my mistakes of that, because I ran out of Malos Purple halfway through painting my Necrons and sort of scrounged around the internet for people that could send me pots of it, which I've actually now got a couple of pots that came from Scotland. I've got one that came from Florida.
Amazing. Places,
and then I got one with my Ho-Ho Hobby Vices Secret Santa as well.
Excellent stuff. Round to our second choices. My second choice is, I've noticed, has been a very popular one for the community, and that's Agrax Earthshade. This, along with Null Oil, when I was sort of painting a lot more, these really were the secret to kind of finishing off the look of a model. And I'm now using them not just to like splash over a model. I'm trying to use them in a little bit more sort of technical kind of ways. But the effect that you get from using it, especially with, you know, certain colors, it works amazingly well. When I do my Death Guard, it like makes my Death Guard so easy to paint. It's just a magical thing. And I think I've bought more of Agrax Earthshade than anything else, bar maybe my top choice.
Oh, well, it's similar to Kerry and Omegos Purple. When lockdown hit and the GW web store closed, I had to do an emergency get all the bottles of Agrax I can find because I was running dangerously close to running out of it. And yeah, it's such a great wash, isn't it? I mean, all the washes are good, but that's probably one of my most used ones myself.
Yeah, definitely. Jay, your second choice.
My second choice is not really a paint. It's but it is. It comes in a paint pot from Games Workshop, and it's Technical Storm Shield.
Yeah.
So it's like a hard coat, basically varnish, a matte varnish. However, I find it. I use a lot of like glazes. I use a lot of the contrast really thin down, like 8 parts contrast, medium, 1 part contrast over different colours. And sometimes you find it leaves a bit of a sheen, a shiny effect on some parts of the model. It doesn't look like nice. And a coat of Storm Shield just takes that off of it. It dulls it down again. So you're protecting your model anyway, but then it also allows me to use those glazes and things a little bit easier, I find, without leaving that horrible sheen effect afterwards.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, is it? Have you tried the canned version? Miniature and varnish. They redid it. It used to be called something else, and I think they reformulated it.
It was hard coat, wasn't it?
I've been using Minotaur and varnish. I haven't had any issues with it. I know the previous incarnation of it, I know people weren't too keen on, because it did tend to ghost if it was funny temperatures and stuff.
Yeah. No, I haven't used any of the spray. I just tend to use it out of the pot because I can just target the bits I want to cover. It's mainly things like when I'm painting my cloaks, I'll use like Wraithbone Dave to get the base of the cloak in, and I'll just like create like a glaze of Xandri dust. Mm-hmm. To brush into the recesses, but then once it dries, it looks shiny. So a bit of storm coat over the top of it, storm shield, sorry, over the top of it, just takes that shine out but leaves the colour. So you get the nice shading in the recesses of the cloaks. Really easy way of painting cloaks. Also, when you're painting things like purity seals and cloaks, the brighter colours, sometimes they can tend to wear a bit easier than other parts of the model. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're painting like brilliant white cloth or things like that. The Storm Shield just protects that as well. White helmets on Ultramarine Veterans, for example, I always put a coat of Storm Shield over the white helmet.
I don't know about you, Jay, but I often use it over transfers as well, just to try and blend it into the rest of the colour scheme.
Definitely, yeah, just to protect the transfer too, yeah.
Cool. Matt, what is your second choice?
Well, my second choice is a recent addition to my arsenal, and it's Basilicarum Grey, which is now my go-to wash, for want of a better word, over steel. So Iron Hand Steel, I mentioned earlier, slap some Basilicarum Grey over that. It is beautiful. Such a nice metal colour. Now, I think I introduced you to this, and you weren't too convinced, were you, Jay? Yeah, Dave?
No, I preferred using Northern Oil in the end, and then dry brushing over the top of it. But I could see the appeal. Perhaps I didn't, because do you use a little bit of Lamia Medium to
contrast medium?
Sorry,
not when I'm using that as a wash, to be honest. No.
Ah, maybe that's where I went wrong. I could definitely see the appeal.
Awesome. Wildwood is also good over metal as well. Sometimes, especially like Death Guard metal, Dave.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, with the contrast paint, have a play with them. Try using them as washes and stuff. There's definitely lots of cool ways of using them.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Kerry, your second choice.
My second choice is going to be Korax White, because as you've already said with Wraithbone, it's a phenomenal coverage in it, and it actually pairs really well with my top choice. And I've had a lot of compliments on it recently. But the Korax White, I've got it lovely and smooth. And it covers everything, and then you get this really beautiful white from it instead.
Yeah,
I use a lot of Korax White on my Luminef Realm Lords, so like on the armor plate and panels, that's all Korax White. Very good.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the better whites they've done.
White is definitely an easier paint to color to do now than it was like sort of 12 months ago, I think, wasn't it?
I find it's easier than the black. Chaos Black always used to be like, when I was like just getting into the hobby, painting black's no problem. Painting white was the right pain. But now I find it's the reverse. I find white is much easier to paint now than a black.
It's funny you should mention the colour black, Jay, because my top choice is my favourite contrast paint. And I think it's the one that I've had to buy more of than any others, not only because I've used it a lot, but also because I've spilt it probably as much as I've spilled Agrax Earthshade. And that is Black Templar. So I find this black is superb, and I use it on all my Death Watch. Like, instead of painting it like you would think with an army like this primarily black, you would spray it Chaos Black. I don't. I go Wraith Bone, and then I just slosh on loads of Black Templar to start.
You rebel, because, Dave.
I know. Because it just gives that slight kind of highlight in the recesses and stuff. It's just a superb paint. I use it so much on everything. I think, I have actually used them on my Necrons. I was going to say, I think my Necrons are the first army I've used since Black Templar came out that I've not used it on, but that's a lie. I have used it. But yeah, it's a brilliant paint.
You just need to win 2 litre bottles now then.
Yeah, definitely. I need to invest in some of those anti-spill things as well. That's definitely something I need to look at. Jay, your second choice.
My first choice is Dryad Bark. So, I mean, I've got lots of favourite colour paints, so I've just tried to pick some of the paints that I'm finding I'm using a lot of at the moment, and Dryad Bark is one of them. I use it to base all of my leathers, like pouches, boots, gloves, things like that. Dryad Bark with a non-oil wash and a Gore-4 brown edge highlight. That's how I do all my leather. I also use Dryad Bark to shade. So I'll use it sometimes to shade like Purity Seals or any bone pieces of armor, like on Dark Angels and things like that. I'll use like a really thin down Dryad Bark Lamy Medium to shade. I also use it to shade gold. So a lot of the Lumineth have got like, what's the gold? You've got the, there's two golds. It's Liberator Gold, which is like the lighter, paler yellow gold. I use it to shade that. So like 7 or 8 parts Lamy Medium to 1 part Dryad Bark over the gold just is really, really nice, just to give it a little bit of depth. And what I do find is, like, doing that, it does sometimes leave a sheen on it, which is why I use the Technical Storm Shield over the top as well. So I just find I'm using Dryad Bark for a lot of things at the moment.
Excellent stuff.
In the armor on the Dark Angels as well, for example. So in all the recesses of the black armor, I've thinned down Dryad Bark, maybe 1 part Dryad Bark, 2 parts Lamy Medium, and put it into all of the recesses to just put like a bit of brown shadow into the armor plates.
Excellent. I would never have thought of using something like Dryad Bark as some kind of wash.
Yeah, well, you can any of the paints you can mix with Lamy Medium, and you'll be surprised like the different effects. Some of the purples I use thin down to paint gems to give like a nice purple gem effect. It's really cool. Xandri Dust I use a lot as well. Like I say, thin that down and use that and wash that into the recesses of all your cloaks. You can get a really nice looking cloak, dead simple. Wraith Bone base, thin down Xandri Dust into the recesses. Just watch it as it dries so it doesn't pool, and then you're done. You don't even need to edge highlight. It's just got that natural shadow.
Nice. Cool. Matt, your top choice.
Well, my top choice is sadly a paint that is no longer available, and that is Blood Letter Glaze.
Mm-hmm. I've got 3 pots of that down here.
Yeah, I've got my emergency. I think I've got 4 or 5 pots, but I don't know what I'm going to do when I run out of them. But yeah, I use this when I'm painting faces. Now, I always hated painting faces, but one of my hobby resolutions was trying to improve the bits of painting that I'm not too keen on, and faces were one of them. And I think Horus was probably my first big face painting project, and yeah, Blood Letter Glaze is so good. Just glazing like the lower lip, going into kind of the details of the face to give a bit of warmth. I use a lot of it on my Mega Gargants to kind of go into the creases of the flesh and the kind of ruddy nose that he's got. Such a nice colour. And I don't know what I'm going to do when it runs out. You can probably make an equivalent using contrast, but I'm going to have to do some experimenting to see what colour's closest.
It's quite a bright red inside, like orangey red colour, yeah. I used to use it for all of my Blood Angels over the red armour. Just to tie all the highlights together, like similar to how I use Lamenter's Yellow just all over the Imperial Fist armor. But I also use it, it's like my little shortcut for painting Space Marine lenses. So yeah. I put like a little dab of White Scar onto a Space Marine lens and then Blood Letter Glaze over the top.
Yeah, and in a little shout out, the blue equivalent, I can't remember what it's called now.
Gilliman's Blue, isn't it?
Is it Gilliman Blue? Yeah. Use that for plasma coils, paint it white, put that over it, it'll collecting the recesses giving you a nice kind of plasma glow effect.
Now, if you are running out of Gilliman blue, Talasar blue, the contrast paint, is does just the same job. I think it's quite a similar colour. But yeah, I don't know about the blood layer. What contrast you would use for blood layer, I'm not sure.
If you know out in Twitter land, please let me know, because there is going to become that dark day when I run out of blood letter.
Kerry, do you want to finish us off with your top choice?
Yeah, well, speaking of Talasar blue, it's actually Talasar blue.
Hey.
The blades that I've got on my Necrons are all of the glow and all the gorse that I have on them. I said with Corax White, it paired nicely with my top one. And that's because all of my blades were done just with Talasar Blue over Corax White. And I've created these beautiful, stunning weapons and everything else on the models as well that's done with it. And everyone goes, oh my God, that's amazing. How have you done it? And I'm like, it's just Talasar Blue over Corax White. And I'm like, yeah, I wish I was good enough to say that I did that all with wet blending and all of that, but it just, it works so well. And the pair of them together just looks so good.
Yeah, I use the Talasar Blue over Corax White for my plasma on the Hellbusters for the Ultramarines.
I actually, you're speaking about your Necron weapons, Kerry. I nearly actually picked Griffhound Orange because it's like one of my favourite contrast paints at the moment. And I'm actually using that for my Necron weapons over Stormhost Silver. It's really cool, but like I've enjoyed using it on like Fire Slayers, Go Trek and stuff like that. Yeah, it's really cool.
Some people have had some really cool effects over the metallics with contrast. Yeah. I really like it.
So I put up a step-by-step on how to paint my Necrons, and someone actually took my colour scheme, or like the method behind it, and just changed all the colours. And she's actually used Griffhound Orange over Corax White, and got some fantastic looking orange versions of my blue blades as well.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, it's a really nice colour.
How have you found the contrast range then, Kerry? Have you used much of it outside of kind of cool glow effects?
Yes. So because obviously I painted with Seraph from Sepia with my Tyranids for ages, it feels like I've actually used contrast paints like the entirety of the time. But I've actually just painted the 68 Hobbits in a week, and that was done with all of the contrast paints. So I basically took all of them and kind of, you know, a pair of trousers on this one and a hat on that one. And it meant that, you know, I could get an army done in like no time at all. So I absolutely love them. I think they're great. Cool.
Do you do anything once you've painted the contrast model? Do you use something like Storm Shield over the top, or do you just leave it as it is?
I am going to need to protect these Hobbits because they are all metal. I just haven't decided on what I'm going to varnish them with yet.
Right. Excellent. Well, that's our top three choices, but we do have the community top three picks coming up next. And so we've come to the final segment of this week's podcast. It's time to read out as many of the community top three picks as we can. So apologies if we don't read yours out. We just had quite a few of them. Starting over on Facebook, Dan Topping. Third choice, Barracknar Burgundy. Just a lovely colour. Second,
oh, that is a nice colour.
It really is. Named after a skyport as well. Second, Rune Lord Base at Brass Base. And his top choice, which apparently he would bleed if he was cut, is Druchy Violet. Because it just, you can use it on everything, over red, gold, green, purples. It adds a deep recess whilst not damaging the colour. So some good choices there. Dan Osborne, third choice, Yandan Yellow, which is a really good. I did paint a few Imperial Fists with that. You have to be a little bit careful, it doesn't go too orange, but it's a really nice contrast paint. Second choice, Retributor Armour, and his top choice is Shyish Purple. Jack Izzett, his third choice is Null Noil. His second choice is Corvus Black, which I've heard a lot of good things about, but I've not used it yet. And his first choice is Iron Warrior, the greatest metallic paint ever. Daz Brain, his top three picks are Goblin Green, Chestnut Ink, which I think two have sung its praises about before in the past, and Doom Bull Brown. Matt, what have we got on Twitter?
So over on Twitter, Fabius Fulgrim says Incubi Darkness, Tin Bits, I still got a pot of Tin Bits somewhere, and Smelly Primer. That smell takes me back 20 years instantly. Mike Slow's Minis, Xeris Purple, Corn Red, and Larmian Medium. So Mike has Larmian Medium in a 120ml bottle. When it gets low, he buys six bottles and fills it up. He can't remember the last time he diluted with water. Larmian Medium's magical stuff. I'm surprised they didn't do a big bottle of it, because I think that would be quite popular. HBL says Bugman's Glow, Inky by Darkness, and Zandri Dust, Martin Orlando, Chestnut Ink, Mechanica Standard Grey, and Bloodletter Glaze. On that, Mechanica Standard Grey spray is amazing for priming miniatures as well.
It is.
Scaling, Norn Oil Gloss, Agvex Earthshade, and Nylac Oxide. Honourable mention to Larman Medium. I'm also going to throw in there, take normal Norn Oil, mix it with Norn Oil Gloss, you get some magical concoction that's brilliant for shading metals. All Points TV, Jamie says Lamenters Yellow, Corn Red, and Agrax. The Council of Asgard say Balthazar Gold, Barrachnar Burgundy, and Dark Reaper. Ricky Smith, Castellax Bronze. Yes, that's a nice colour. Corvus Black and Norn Oil. Darren Winter, Corax Black, Zandri Dust, and Goblin Green. You cannot beat a bit of Goblin Green on the basis for that old school charm. This is it. Mr. Ben Johnson says Agrax Earthshade and then all the rest. So yeah, it's all about the Agrax Earthshade. Matt Smith gives Goblin Green another shout out. Battlebrush Studios, Deneb Stone, Devlin Mud, and Leprous Brown. I don't remember Leprous Brown. That must be an old one, maybe.
I don't remember that one. Deneb Stone, though. I used to love Deneb Stone. That used to be what I used to do. All of my Purity Seals, Bone Armor, everything. Deneb Stone was brilliant. It was a foundation paint, I think.
It was, yeah. I really liked some of the foundation paints. Unfortunately, my collection kind of went stone hard years ago and had to throw them all out, unfortunately. But there's some really nice colours in there.
Yeah, Rakar Flesh, I think, is like the closest I think you can get to the old Deneb Stone.
Mm. Pete Allison, Runebrush, says Inky by Darkness, Scale 75 Black Metal. That's not a Citadel one, but, you know, we'll allow it. And Charadon Granite. I love Charadon Granite. I've said this before on the show. Instar used to do a colour match of it, but I believe they've stopped that now. So the quest to find another colour match for that continues. Stuart Curry, Grey Seer is my go-to white. Skeleton Horde Contrast is a great wash for warm, rusty orc metal. And Agrax Earthshade is the MVP, a quick wash that makes everything better. We've had a million other responses, but some of the coolest ones that I spotted. So if you want to see all the community shout-outs, head over to the Twitter thread to see the lot.
Yeah, fantastic. Matt, what is on our top three next week?
Well, this week we've talked about paints. Next week, we want to know your top three non-paint hobby supplies, be they basing materials, glues, accessories, all that kind of cool stuff.
Excellent stuff. You can get your choices in early via Twitter and Facebook, or you can wait until we pop the thread up, usually on the Sunday, and just reply to that. Just remember to use the hashtag Sprues and Brews. And I think that actually brings us to the end of another week. Kerry, it's been fantastic having you on there for your second outing on the podcast.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Hopefully we'll get you on in the near future as well, maybe to tell us more about how the Pile of Potential has evolved over time and has taken over the world.
Oh, hopefully.
Brilliant. Thank you for joining us. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. We'll be back again next week. And until then, have a great week of hobby. Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast. Make sure you check out our social media at Sprues and Brews on Twitter and facebook.com/Sprues and Brews. And of course, you can always head over to the website, spruesandbrews.com, for all the latest Warhammer news.